when he sees it coming. There's the line. He's across.
Meb Keflezighi crossing the finish line last April. He was the first American to win the men's open race at the Boston Marathon in 31 years. And you might say his is a most American story. His family fled war-torn Eritrea in the 1980s and settled in San Diego, where Keflezighi became a citizen and a world-class runner. Today, his trophy case includes an Olympic medal and a New York City marathon win. Keflezighi will try to defend his Boston victory on April 20th. And in preparation for that, he did a practice run of the course. Here and Now's Alex Ashlock tried to keep up with him.
Since his emotional victory in Boston last year, everybody wants to run with Meb. So there I was, near the Boston Marathon finish line, waiting to do just that. He and two training partners were completing a run on the course. I was supposed to meet them as they cooled down. In other words, as they slowed down.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Good.
How far did you go?
Almost 9 miles.
You start at 17. Are you going back here first, or are you just keep going?
I'll go a little bit and back.
Okay. I'll try to keep up with you.
Well, I only kept up for a few hundred feet. But while I couldn't really run with Meb, it is possible to learn from his example. That's the premise of his new book, written with Scott Douglas from Runner's World magazine. The book is called Meb for Mortals, How to Run, Think, and Eat Like a Champion Marathoner. It's filled with advice on training, from workouts and stretching, to recovering from injuries. After I caught my breath, we sat down to talk about the book and Keflezighi's career.
You know, Meb for Mortals is just to be able to get the best out of yourself. You know, we all have, not everybody can be the Boston champion or New York champion or Olympic medalist or Olympian, but there's a champion within us to get the best out of ourselves, no matter what age, what gender. And, you know, what I have done over the 25 years to reveal it, to tell them, you know, this worked for me, try it, or like train, recovery, diet, stretching and strengthening and all those things I listed there to be, you know, trying to do what I have done and for the regular average runners.
What's the most important thing for a regular runner who doesn't have time to train and work all day on his or her running? What's the most important thing?
I mean, the most important thing about is to be healthy. If you're healthy and routine consistently. So I know my full-time job is to run, but others, I understand also others, they just run, getting up at 5 a.m., trying to work out before they go for work, or trying to squeeze it between lunch, or trying to do it after work. So find what works best for you and stick to it. And, you know, I would encourage people, the most people who are that level are, you know, 25, 35 and older. So run one less mile to do the stretching, the strengthening. That might take 5-10 minutes. So by doing that, it's going to make your longevity, your career, or your enthusiast running, and then also less injury prone.
You talk about having good goals, being committed, and hard work. Do all those things have equal value, or does one override the other?
No, they follow one after another. I mean, you got to be committed, and then once you're committed, you set new goals, and then the goals, you go accomplish them. So it's, you know, which one came first, you can't say, but as long as you are committed and set goals and work hard, this, you know, those things, great things will happen. And for me, that's what has been over my career. You know, I'm a goal-oriented person. I'm pretty specific about my goals. It's not like, oh, I just run well. No, I want to finish top three or run a personal best or want to win Boston. They're concrete versus, oh, I just want to see what I do, you know. And then people need to do that. And hard work is always going to pay off. It might not pay off that one time that you want it to pay off, but if you are persistent with it and still committed to the sport, great things will happen.
What's the best advice you ever got during your career from another runner?
This question's been asked so many times. What's the best advice I've been getting? It's Paul Turgot. I mean, I met Paul Turgot in early my career, right after I graduated.
The great Kenyan runner.
The great Kenyan runner, world record holder in the 10K, former world record holder in the marathon, Mr. Silver medalist behind Haile Gebrselassie. He asked him if I could have a tea with him. He took me around his arm and said, sat down and talk, and he says, you know, you could be like me, but it's going to take you a while. And that was the best advice, because small progress is what we have to count on. You know, nothing happens overnight. Nothing happens, achievement or success doesn't happen overnight. It might take a year, it might take weeks, it might take multiple years. But at the same time, if you are committed to it and make small progress, things will work out. And it has for me. And to be able to, you know, he gave me the advice, but I was able to beat him at the 2004 Olympics, which I never thought going to that starting line. I'm like, Paul Turgot, unless I get a mile head start, there's no way I can beat him. But, you know, it's that's what the beat of running is, and you got to be on that day. And I was on that day and was able to, you know, to get a silver medal home.
Can you talk a little bit about your father? I think at the 2000 Olympics, you were about to run the 10,000 meters, and he said, Meb, you're going to win tonight. And you said, no, Dad, I'm not going to win. Talk a little bit about your dad.
Kids, it's hard to say no to your parents. I got my daughters. I don't want them to say no to me. But I'm a realistic guy. And what my dad said in 2000 was, you're going to win tonight. I got a feeling you're going to win. I'm like, no, I'm not going to win tonight. You know? And he's like, but don't think that way. You got to think positive and whatnot. I'm like, no. They ran 26:30s, and I have not broke 28 minutes yet, so you have to be realistic. But I tell him, I'm not going to beat him today, but I'm going to finish as hard as I can. I had the flu and everything else, no excuse. But down the road, I would love to compete against him and have a chance to beat him. And that's what happened 4 years later. Not in the same distance, but in another different distance in the marathon, I was able to beat Paul Turgot. And, you know, so... You know, it was you have to pinch yourself of the things that has achieved, but at the same time, people can tell you, but you have to be realistic with yourself what you can and can't do. Versus, I mean, nobody sees me train day in, day out, but I knew I was capable of winning Boston. I was capable of getting a medal. I was capable of winning New York. Why? Because I was training very hard. Versus somebody who never seen you train and says, "Hey, you're gonna win." And I'm like, "Well, I'm injured right now." They don't know that, so you have to be within yourself.
How have you been able to stay at the world-class level as long as you have, and you're approaching 40 years old, but you're still one of the top marathoners in the world? How have you been able to do that?
I mean, I'm excited to be 40, so the pressure will be off. But my journey has been amazing, just my upbringing and work ethic, and I just work hard, be smart, and consistent. I think I've been one of the most consistent marathoners at all times, just because first, second, third, and fourth in New York, third and fifth and first in Boston, second and fourth at the Olympics. I mean, you know, they've been different times within 5 years or maybe sometimes 8 years span of time. But how do I do it? I just through hard work and, you know, one foot after another, consistency is huge. And my times has been that way. It's been like it hasn't been up here, down here, and when unless I'm injured or not fit enough to be competitive. But other than that, it's been within a minute of each other, whether I'm in London or in Boston, in Chicago, in New York, or, you know, wherever at the Olympic Games I might be. But they've been within that. Why? Because 26.2 miles is always 26.2 miles. It might vary with the course, but I'm the same guy still trying to produce the same good results.
You're saying basically that you need to treat the race as part of a bigger picture, not necessarily, you're obviously putting a lot of impetus in the race, but you need to treat it like almost part of your training. It's not unusual.
Almost definitely. When you know, racing is just another. The Boston Marathon was special last year, 2014, but at the end of the day, it's another race for me. Even though you have to take the emotion with it, you're running for something greater than myself. But it's still like the Olympics. The Olympics are a big deal, but you don't say, oh, I'm going to train harder, I'm going to do this different. No, it's one foot after another. And any marathons that you do, people get pumped up, you know, get crowd excited, and they want to start fast, and then they also want to get, control yourself. To be able to say, use the excitement, but at the same time, run your own race. Don't get carried on to run somebody else's race.
Meb Keflezighi speaking with Here and Now's Alex Ashlock. You can read an excerpt of his book at hereandnow.org, where you can also see a video of Meb running and talking about his training. If you look closely, the guy with the tape recorder trying to keep up is our own Alex Ashlock.